Good evening, everyone. A warm welcome to all of you. It's good to have you join us for our prayer meeting. So let's commit this time to God in prayer before we hear the word and spend time praying together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your presence. We want to thank you for who you are. We want to thank you that you love us, dear God. And we pray that even this time that you would meet us, dear God, that you would speak to our hearts, that you'll open our eyes to your greatness, to your goodness. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, even as we look to you, Lord, as we learn about you, that your power, your presence will fill this place, that you will guide us, Lord, with your grace, that you would enable us, Lord, to be more like Jesus, dear God. So, Lord, speak, Lord, through your word. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today, the title of today's sharing is Unity in the Spirit, and I think Jack covered that last week. We begin to see how the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost brought the people together and what was important in that unity. So let me read the scripture text to you. Okay. So it's taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 till 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended means except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ gave himself the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speak the truth in love. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Okay. So when you look at this, you can see the whole passage is about growing together, growing in unity, growing in Christ. And I mean, I'm just going to go through it and just show you a few aspects of it. So last week, you took on the second chapter of Acts, and there were four important things that the early church practiced: teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. Okay. And you find that this is how God instilled unity into the body of Christ. But what we do realize is that there's much more happening here. There is always this picture of, you know, all of God's people representing Christ, together being the body of Christ, together serving and being a witness to the whole world. So when you think about that, there is a few things that happens, you know. There is the being and there's the doing, there's the belief and the practice. And you find that this whole work of the Holy Spirit that shapes us works through all of this. So I remember once, you know, meeting this couple, and they had been part of a revival that quite a big revival that happened in the church. And after many years, they were just waiting for the revival to take place again. And they felt that only in an atmosphere of revival where the Holy Spirit is poured out on people, and God does that, okay? But this couple, you know, held on to the fact that only in that environment that unity can be forged, okay? So they got pretty angry with people because they felt that people were not praying enough for that kind of revival, that kind of encounter with the Holy Spirit. So it was interesting that in one of the prayer sessions, and we were praying for peace for the nation, and then one of them made this remark: "You shouldn't be praying for peace. You know, you should allow people to suffer so they will start praying and they'll come back to God, and the revival will take place." So my point in this story is: some people believe that unity and all this can only happen if God just pours out His Spirit upon people. Okay, you know, God just comes and invades our space. But you find that God has invaded our space. We are baptized by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. But unity is not forged only in that atmosphere. In fact, unity is forged in a kind of daily flow of being and doing and belief and practice. But what's interesting that you see in this passage is that we are equipped to learn how to be and do, and we are equipped to know what to believe and how to practice our beliefs, okay? And this is a very simple idea. Of course, all of you who are, you know, in life knows that if you are given a certain task or you're going to take on a certain job, and what you're very mindful of is the whole equipping process, the training process, and whether you're ready to do those things. And to be a Christian, to be, part of a body, is not a simple thing. You know, we need to learn how this can be done. Because in my ministry, I've met many people who have worked so hard to try to forge unity, but because of the lack of equipping and understanding, and because they went about doing things on your own strength or in the wrong way, they burnt out halfway, okay? They got very tired. So what the scripture is telling us that, you know, there is this whole journey in which God equips us, in which God trains us so that we can grow in unity. And we must be mindful of that journey, okay? So in this passage, the first thing that you must see what's happening here is that the whole transformation, the whole process of being and doing and becoming more Christ, is multi-layered. Okay, it involves so many different things. It involves so many different things working together to move us towards that direction. And Paul starts off with the idea of a calling. Okay, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live by a life worthy of the calling. Okay, and that's what he's saying, that, you know, when you want to understand unity, you must first understand it, that we are called to be the body of Christ. We are called out of darkness into his light, you know, so that we may bear witness to his glory. And this is what, you know, the scripture tells. Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." So the first important thing is, you know, that all of us must understand that this whole idea of unity began by an invitation, you know, from Jesus Christ for us to be his disciples. He has called us, he met us, and he invites us to be part of his body, part of his work, you know, part of his kingdom, and the list goes on, all right? So there has been an invitation sent out to be part of God's kingdom, you know, God's body, God's family. And he's saying, you know, this is who you are. It's a matter of your identity, you know, that you are people invited to be part of it. And we all can understand the joy of having that invitation, okay? The joy of having that access, you know, and being part of it. And so Paul says, you know, because you have that access, because you are part of this, and he invites us to live a life worthy of that calling, okay? And in fact, Paul kind of put it this way. He says, you know, he wrote this letter from the prison, and he's saying, you know, I, the prisoner of the Lord, okay? And so he's saying that his calling has led him to this place, but that is the life that he wants to live. And that idea goes throughout the whole episode of Ephesians. So there's this strong idea of identity. Okay, you don't choose to be part of it. You are called, and God has given us this invitation, you know, this access through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and then the second idea that comes across here is, you know, a compilation of Christian virtues. And this is important, and there's an instruction to be, okay, in order to do. And here he says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So there are two things happening here. You know, one is that command, you know, for us to do something, okay, to be completely and to make every effort, okay. And of course, we know that all these virtues come from the Spirit himself. We are familiar with the fruits of the Spirit, as it's seen in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22, 23. And you can see the tree there. Okay, and the Spirit brings this about in our life. But the thing is, you know, there ought to be cooperation with the Spirit. And there, our minds and our actions should move towards these attitudes, okay, of being humble and gentle. Okay, of being patient, of bearing with one another. And if you look at it, he's already telling us, you know, that this task requires such a spirit. Okay, if you are hasty, if you're impatient, you know, and if you're not willing to carry another person and you don't have that humility, heart of Christ in this whole journey, you will never understand what this whole journey is about. You will miss the whole big idea. And of course, what you can see as you look at the slide, that all this comes from Christ. You know, the very fact that he unites people around him because he himself is humble. You know, and he says in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, so you can see the heart of Jesus Christ. He's not this kind of powerful dictator or king or like any worldly leaders. You know, he hasn't come to put a heavy yoke upon the hearts of people, but he is gentle and humble in heart. And you find that in him, he himself does all the heavy lifting. He took on our sin. He paved the way, and he did all this. And he says, blessed are those, you know, who understand these virtues and see the blessedness in it. And all these virtues are centered around the person of Christ. Okay, so, and you can see that very clearly in Paul's language. So again, all right, you know, the invitation is by Jesus Christ. And the invitation is to Jesus Christ to embrace his way of life, to embrace the virtues that are in him. And all this is transferred, you know, is given to us. We are able to keep these commands. We are able to strive for such high ideals simply because the Holy Spirit is with us, okay? There is power from above. There is the power of the Holy Spirit transforming our lives each day. Now, another idea that comes across, you know, in as how the Holy Spirit forges unity is our confession. Okay, and the word confession in Christianity means that the beliefs and the doctrines that you hold on to. And some of us who have been to more traditional churches are familiar with the Apostles' Creed, okay? And there's a list of confession, believing God, the Father Almighty, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, in the birth of, you know, of Christ, his death, his resurrection. And all these are important beliefs that we hold on to. So the confession of the early church is there is one body, okay? And you find that is... This confession helps us forge the heart, the idea of unity within our hearts. So there is one body, okay? You know, there is not many. There is one in Christ. There is one Spirit in work in all of us. The same Holy Spirit that works with me, works in you, works in every person here, you know, and works in every person in the church. And just as you were called to one hope when you were called, and all of us were called to the same hope, and we are serving that one Lord. And all our faith is that one faith, because we believe in the same thing. And there is one baptism that we, you know, it's in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And one God, the Father of all, who is over all and through all and is in all. Okay. So the thing is this, you know, what we must understand, that the reason for such confession, the reason why these scriptures are written in the Bible, such sentences, such confession, and the reason why even in the early Christian times, that all this was very important, especially in churches also, it's so important to confess these things, because these things must inform our thoughts, our attitudes, you know, our beliefs concerning the people around us, concerning who we are as a church. Okay, because it's very easy for us to become all individualistic about it. It's all about me, what I want. And you can see that happening these days. You know, everyone wants to have their very personalized kind of Christian experience. And you know, with this online thing, you can actually tweak your own kind of church. You know, you can watch what you want to watch and be part of what you want to be and listen, and when you want to listen and switch off. You know, and everything is in your hands, according to your taste, according to what you like, according to your time and your comfort. But the thing is, you know, the Bible does not subscribe to that idea at all. You know, it's not about the individual, it's about the community. And this confession forges, you know, that idea in our heart as we confess in the Spirit, as we pray in the Spirit, we begin to see the world through the lenses of this confession. And that is important for us. Okay. Now, the other thing that takes place here is, you know, the place of diversity in unity, and we'll be seeing that much more. Of course, all of us are familiar when Paul speaks about the body of Christ and comparing it as a human body. They're all different parts and they have different functions, but they must work together. But in this specific passage, you know, we are talking about the whole the subject of equipping the body to work and serve together. And he's talking about the fivefold ministries, the ministries that equips people, okay? And you can also see a verse here, which I quoted previously, that it speaks about how, you know, Christ's victory involves him blessing the world with the gift of the Holy Spirit. So let me read the passage first, but, okay, from verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascend means, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Okay, so God, you know, poured out his Spirit and anointed these fivefold ministries to equip, okay, the body. So it looks like this. Okay, so what's very interesting in this whole journey? So Christ gives the fivefold ministries to equip his people. Okay, all right. So that his people will do the works of service, so that the body of Christ will be built up. Okay, so the thing is, it's not just one, one step, you know, where just one person teaches. Okay, the whole point of the instruction, the equipping, is to get the body moving. And when the body starts serving one another, okay, and then, and only then, the body is built up in Christ. Okay, so that's the whole point. And I think this is what, you know, we must be clear as a church. So as Paul says, you know, we are all called and we all have a ministry to do. And there are all kinds of works of service that we need to do. And we need to understand how to do this. We need to understand how we can bless each other, how we can help each other, how we can encourage each other. We need to understand what are the gifts that are given to us, what are the places of ministry which God would want to use in our lives, okay? And so there is this whole teaching gifts, all right? The fivefold ministries, okay? The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, okay? And the pastors and the teachers, and they are to do this, okay? And the whole reason they do this is to get the body moving, to get the body working. And when the body works, everybody benefits from it, okay? Everyone gets built up. So I think what's very important in this point, you know, what we must realize that ministry is not, again, a one-person thing, all right? And the first thing I do want to point out that is that all of us need to learn, okay? All of us need to be in the places where, be in the places and have conversations where we learn how to do this thing. So even when I was doing ministry, I was pretty lost as how to get many things done. But thank God, you know, there were some important people that God sent in my life. And there were some very important books that God sent to my life that helped me understand scriptures, that helped me deal with the issues of serving and doing things the right way. And till now, God, there's always opportunities for such conversations because I still need to learn. I still need to be equipped. And I have to guard my equipping track, okay? All right, and it's only when I'm effective in having a good equipping track that I can do things in a meaningful way. I can understand how it works, and as I do it, I can see, where all this is heading. All right, and also what this does also, it gives us a very different idea as to how growth happens. So as a even as the pastor of the church, you know, my growth cannot be determined by one-way thing. It's not just me giving. It has to be me receiving from others. You know, it's me listening and learning from others, and me allowing others to encourage me, others to serve with me, all right? And only when that happens, the body of Christ grows. Okay, so this is so important, and I hope you think about this because, you know, as a church, you know, if we are thinking about growing in Christ-likeness, then it involves this process. And I hope that you would pray and consider much even about your own journey of how God is equipping you. Okay, and then, of course, you know, the whole instruction is based on the word, okay? So it says the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, okay? So what we have to understand, what helps in all this is good teaching, all right? Good training and teaching fuels in our faith. Good teaching is all about knowing who Jesus Christ is. And good teaching unites us to bear the image of Christ as a body, okay? And that's what's needed. So again, I want to emphasize, okay, if you read what's happening out there and you are the kind of person who's looking at, you know, what's good and what's gone wrong. And I think all of us who have been Christians a long time can clearly see that bad teaching, wrong teaching leads to, you know, bad representation. You know, things are done in a wrong way. It leads to immaturity, selfishness, and so forth. Okay, so there is a need for good teaching. There is a need for people to explore the Word of God and teach and guide you as how this is done. And the Holy Spirit raises such people, and the Holy Spirit leads in such people, okay? Because, you know, only when we are grounded in the Word, we are able to see the other aspects of our life in terms of our calling, our faith, you know, our confession, kind of change the way we see life, Okay. It helps us to understand how we must value the other person, how we must, you know, care and pray for the other person. It gives us insight into the heart of God. Okay, so the being is transformed by the teaching, and it kind of also leads us to understand what we need to do also, and that feeds into each other. Okay. All right. And then there's another idea here. The unity is forged in the midst of adversity. Okay. And he's saying, you know, the reason for solid teaching, you know, so because there are forces at work that seeks to divert the energy of Christians, you know, lead them into the wrong path and divide them. Okay. And Satan sows division within the body. Okay. So he says, yes, then you will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Okay. And yes, this is a hot topic, and we can see this happening throughout history. Okay, or it's just how a wrong idea, bad teaching, you know, it can just take people off course, and it can divide a body, and it can cause a lot of issues. And here, the thing is, you know, the body of Christ, you know, the kind of unity that needs to be forged is the kind that is standing firm in the midst of all this cunning, crafty, deceitful, you know, work that is being led by Satan that is happening around us. Okay. And I do want to say, you know, I mean, I think most of us have the problem of being isolated in our own thoughts. Okay. You know, thinking about our own problem by ourselves, you know, with what we have and what we understand and what we know. And that can be pretty dangerous, all right? And so it's so important to have good teaching and people you can talk to, you know, to have the right yardstick in which you can compare to, the right context in which you can look at your life through, in order to fuel you, you know, to help you withstand these things, because this is very real, all right? And this is a huge problem from the inception of the church up till now. This is a challenge to the body of Christ, okay? So he ends up here and he says, you know, instead of speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Okay. So you find that, you know, instead of scheming and lying and you know, having all that kind of ideas at work, okay, what strengthens the body is when we speak in truth and in love, okay, and the way Jesus ministered was in truth and in grace. Okay, and in that sense, you know, when we have that, we are equipped in that, then we will grow, okay, and we will become more like Christ. And when we grow to become more like Christ, and when we learn how to support each other and work with each other, you know, then again, that stirs growth, sorry, within us, okay? So it's an amazing process that growth leads to more growth, that unity leads to more unity. Christ-likeness leads to more Christness as we come together. So love and truth and unity in Christ leads us to grow. So it's so important for us to understand all this. And the reason why I think this passage is so important is because we have to realize that the means in which the Holy Spirit trains us is quite simple, quite basic. Yeah, excuse me. Sorry. Yeah. So the way the Holy Spirit teaches us is very simple. He equips us, instructs us, and he sets ministries around us to help us in this instruction, in this equipping. And he puts a task and work before us, and he asks us to think about our confession, our calling, the virtues in which we move our life around, the kind of adversity we must face, okay? And all of this just kind of points us back to the person of Jesus Christ, because we see all this happening in Him. And it's in Him, you know, we find the strength and the grace to be united as one body. So before this passage, Paul prays this prayer, and that's what we're going to do. Before I pass the time to Shanti to pray, we're going to pray this prayer together. Okay, and what we want to understand is that, you know, as we are working through all this as a church, we should be learning truth. And our heart should be forged by love, and we should think about serving and how to working with others, to serve with others, and about standing firm and doing all this together in Christ. So for that, you know, for that vision, Paul prays his prayer, and he prays it this way: "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know His love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So this is a prayer. But you see, the whole prayer, you know, captures the heart of this instruction together in Christ, okay? And that power comes when we gather to learn about the love of Christ. And He's able to put this into our hearts, and that's our hope, okay? So, you know, what's interesting, when we come here every Sunday and we work together as a church, we meet in cells, we speak to each other, you know, and even today in a gathering of the prayer meetings, okay, there is a picture, a hope that is driving all this, and that picture is coming together as one body to serve Christ. And this picture moves beyond Life Church. It moves towards churches in this city. It moves to churches in this nation and churches across the nations. Okay, and that's the Christian vision of unity, all, you know, orchestrated and led, you know, by the same confession, by the same Spirit, all the children of the same Father, all, you know, filled with the presence of Christ, all, you know, holding on to the same teaching, and all, okay, facing the same adversity, you know, throughout the world, okay, the same enemy. So we are one in that sense. And the thing is, as we learn to serve, as we start with the person next to us, as we begin to see God move us in that journey, we begin to see the dots connect, and suddenly we see ourselves part of something so much more bigger than our own lives, so much more greater, so much more beautiful, all held together by the love and the power and the presence of Christ. So let's pray that we will allow the Holy Spirit to fill us in such a way that we partake of this journey with all our hearts. Okay, so let's pray. Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you for this wonderful vision. Holy Spirit, we want to thank you that you are at work in our lives. And we pray, Lord Father, that we may receive power from you. As we are rooted in you, Lord, that we will all together grow, Lord, to bear your image, to shine your light, to reveal your love and your goodness, Lord. We pray, Lord Father, that together, Lord, we will learn, Lord, from you. So, Lord, we pray that in a world that is so broken. In a world where people are just thinking about themselves, what they want, what they can achieve. We pray, Lord Father, that we will go against these ideas, that our minds will be different. We pray, Lord Father, that this confession, this vision will shape the way we see other people, the way we treat other people, the way we do things, especially among the body, dear Lord. Dear God, all of us need some help, some encouragement, some prayer. All of us need help here and there, dear God. I pray that we will be able to rise up as a body and meet that need and be that person. And also, Lord, all of us need, Lord, each other so that we can make a stand and do your work, Lord, in this very challenging season. And so we pray that you would do this work of uniting this church so that it may rise to bear testimony of who you are, so that many more will come to know. We thank you, we praise you. We give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Holy Father, we praise you, we thank you, dear Lord. Yes, Lord, we continue to just commit our lives into your hands, especially this season, even as we to celebrate, Lord, Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter, this Holy Week, remembering, Lord, how much you have done for us, building our lives on the good news and the hope of salvation that comes from you. And dear Lord, as we come to this season, dear Lord, we pray that we will live a life worthy of the calling. And Father, we pray that as many of us, Lord, are tired and are facing challenges and have so many things and commitments to look into, we pray, Lord Father, that all these things that is happening, you know, around us in this world, all the brokenness, the violence, the wars that we witness, all this will drive us back to you, Lord, that we will humble ourselves before you and seek you, Lord, the only answer, the only hope of this world, the only one who is seated above all things in glory and power and majesty. Let us humble ourselves, Lord, to know that you are God, that you are good. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, for every person, Lord, in this congregation. I pray, Lord, that you would draw them, Lord, before you, that they will wave the white flag, Lord, that there will be a moment of surrender, Lord, saying only you can lead and help and guide us. That there, Lord, here you'll pour within our hearts a deep thirst for more of you, a deep desire to draw close to you, dear Lord. So God, we ask you, pour out your spirit, stir our hearts, speak to us, dear Lord, meet us where we are, draw us together as a body, and reveal the blessedness, Lord, of your gospel. We thank you, Lord, we praise you. I just lift up every person who is here, that you continue to keep them in your love, in your goodness. Continue to encourage us, Lord, Father, and let us, Lord, strive towards unity. For your name's sake, dear Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.